Larry Brown joins us on Sports Byline, the Hall of Fame coach who has won an ABA championship as a player and NBA and NCAA titles as a coach with the Pistons and the University of Kansas. And he's certainly recognized as one of basketball's greatest teachers and is known for turning losers into winners. You know, Larry, you were born in Brooklyn. You grew up in the New York area and everything. Take me back to that time and what basketball was like for kids and for you when you were growing up.
Well, we lived in Brooklyn. My dad passed away when I was young, and we happened to move to Long Beach, Long Island. My grandfather had a bakery. Across the street from our bakery was a playground, and all the best players in the New York area, college, pro, high school, used to come out on weekends. And I got to play against Red Holtzman and some old, great players. And, you know, at that time, that was a city game. And older players taught me how to play. I used to go when I was 13, and I was the first guy out on the court, took my own ball, and I'd get to play if there weren't enough guys. And eventually, as I got older, I got to play more and more, and it was a phenomenal experience for me.
Well, with your size, you were a point guard, and with your size, did you have to play a little bit harder? Did you have to toughen up a lot when you were playing at that age?
Well, playing against older players really is the best way to get better on. My cousin ran the Brownsville Boys Club in Brooklyn, and I used to go with him, you know, on weekends. And I didn't get to play against a lot of black athletes, you know, in my area. And then on weekends, I used to go and play against great players with great quickness that were older. And it really elevated my game. Being small, I never looked at it as a disadvantage. I never thought about, you know, I had to play harder. I always loved to play, and I loved to compete. And I was blessed because I probably played for the greatest coaches ever. You know, my high school coach was great. I played for Frank McGuire and Dean Smith at North Carolina. I played for John McClendon and Mr. Iba on the Olympic team. I played for Pete Newell and Alex Hannum. So my background was phenomenal. And they were such an important part of my life, I knew someday I wanted to coach. I never thought it'd be on a professional level or a college level, but it just worked out that way.
You played your college ball, as you mentioned, Larry, in North Carolina and was coached by Frank McGuire and Dean Smith. How did you end at North Carolina, end up there?
My high school coach went to Carolina, and Frank McGuire recruited my mother. She told me that's where I needed to go. He left after my sophomore year to coach Will Chamberlain, you know, with Philadelphia, the year Wilt averaged 50 points a game, and Dean Smith took over. So, you know, I never expected I'd get to play for two Hall of Fame coaches, two wonderful men like that. And then I went to play amateur ball for Goodyear, and then Coach Smith asked me to come back to North Carolina and be his assistant. And then the ABA started, and I went from being an assistant to go playing in the ABA. So I had kind of a strange way of going to become a coach, playing again, and then get back in coaching.
Yeah, I know you were considered too small to play in the NBA, so you began your professional career with the NABL's Akron Wingfoots. Tell me about them.
Well, you know, at the time I graduated college, there weren't a lot of NBA teams, and if you tried out for an NBA team, you were a pro, so your alternatives were very few. You couldn't play overseas, you couldn't play in the NABL, which was the National Industrial Basketball League. They had teams like Phillips 66, Goodyear, Peoria Caterpillar, you know, Wichita, Buchan Bakers. They had great opportunities to play ball and learn a career. And it was just a wonderful chance for me. And, you know, by doing that, I ended up, you know, playing in the Olympic trials, and our team won the Olympic trials, and I got to play in the Olympics. So everything had a way of working out. And then the ABA started, and that gave a lot of guys an opportunity to play. And then eventually, you know, the two leagues merged, and, you know, I was fortunate enough to be a coach at the time with Denver, and Denver went into the NBA, and that started my pro career, basically.
I want to ask you about that 64 Olympic basketball team. What was the catalyst of it? What was the makeup of that team that made them so good?
Our coach, our coaching staff. We had Mr. Iba, Henry Iba, and then John McClendon, who was just a phenomenal coach. You know, at that time, they didn't just pick a team. You had to go through a trial, and they had the 36 best NCAA players. They had two NAIA teams when NAIA basketball was great. They had two Industrial League teams, you know, with made up of Phillips 66 guys, Goodyear, and people like that. And then they had an Armed Services team. And you had a trial, and they picked the best 12 players. And we had a great team. We had Bill Bradley and Lucius Jackson and Walt Hazard. You know, Jeff Mullins, a lot of really great, great players. But at that time, you know, we were playing against pros. All those Russian guys and European players, they were basically pros. So it was a real challenge. But we had a great coaching staff and a good group of guys.
Speaking of coaches, we've already mentioned Frank McGuire, Dean Smith, Coach Iba as well. What's the commonality of the great coaches? What did you take away from each of them? And what was the consistent nature of their coaching, Larry?
Well, Ron, I think they all had similar values. They really cared about the game and making the game better. They loved the kids. They were very, very demanding, but they were very fair, and they were all great teachers. You know, the game, I think, is pretty simple, and if you do the fundamental things right and you play unselfishly and play hard, you're generally going to have success. And all of those guys, I think, had those values. You had to defend. You had to rebound the ball. You had to share the ball. And they expected you to give effort. They didn't beg you to give effort. And that's the way, you know, I was taught, and that's what I've always tried to, you know, get our players to do, because those guys were successful doing it that way. And I don't think it was any accident that they were all great coaches.
One of the things that I've heard from my friends that played in the ABA is about those early days. You were a part of those early days, playing, of course, with New Orleans, also Oakland, Washington, the Virginia Squires, Denver Rockets. What were those days like for you as a player?
Oh, I couldn't believe I was getting paid to play basketball. That was the first thing I remember. And then every week you weren't sure you were going to get your paycheck. The Oakland Oaks moved to Washington and moved to Virginia, so I was with the same team that three straight years we moved to three different cities. But we had young players that were unbelievably talented, and when we eventually merged into the NBA, four of our teams merged into the NBA, we weren't allowed to take part in the draft. We weren't allowed to take part in the dispersal draft of the other ABA players from the teams that disbanded. And two of us won our division, and half the All-Stars in the NBA All-Star game were ABA players. So these young kids like David Thompson and George Gervin and Artis Gilmore and Bobby Jones and Dan Issel, those young players became instant stars as soon as we got into the NBA.
The style and the philosophy of basketball in the ABA was almost like the American Football League, how it was different from the established National Football League. Well, what was the philosophy of the way the players played and the attitude toward the game in the ABA?
Well, we all were appreciative of the fact that we could play and had that opportunity, especially little guys, because the NBA, if you were small, they didn't even consider you. And then it was more wide open. You know, they implemented the three-point shot, the red, white, blue, and blue ball. The game was much faster. They said we didn't guard, but I don't believe that at all. There were more kids that were more athletic and younger having an opportunity to play. If you were an NBA player and a rookie, you very rarely played. It took you two or three years to earn the right to play. In the ABA, we had young kids like Connie Hawkins playing right away, and Julius, and their abilities were unmatched. They were just phenomenal. But it was fun. You know, every time we went out to play, there was a common goal to show people that our league was special and that we all belonged. So there was tremendous camaraderie amongst the coaches, amongst the players, and we were all hoping someday to get an opportunity to be in the NBA.
Larry Brown is with us, Hall of Fame basketball coach. He started his playing career in the ABA, also started coaching there as well, but then he decided to go into college basketball. The motivation for doing that, he won a national championship at Kansas, won an NBA title also with the Detroit Pistons. We'll talk about all of that as we continue on Sports Byline.